St. Louis Shakespeare's 33rd season opens tonight and runs through April of 2018. The company presents both Shakespeare and non-Shakespearean classics each season. St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter previews one of them.
The season opens tonight with Mark Twain's Is He Dead, which is set in 1846 Paris. Edward Caulfield directs. Welcome to St. Louis On the Air.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Good to see you.
Good to see you again. You're opening this St. Louis Shakespeare season, so any pressure there?
Well, I suppose there is, just naturally because it's the beginning of their season, and I know the company is very excited about it. And, of course, they have a long history of doing plays by David Ives, and this particular play is originally by Mark Twain and then adapted by David Ives. So I think people are pretty excited.
What's interesting about their season, too, is how they combine works of Shakespeare with other things.
Yeah. And I think they do a great job of sort of pairing that up. It's a little bit like doing wine pairings, you know, because we're so familiar with the Shakespeare canon, and then what can you add to complement that?
Never thought of it as comparing it to wine pairings, so that's good. Does the fact that this work, Edward, this work by Mark Twain, the fact that it's being done by a Shakespeare company, does that affect in any way that you as a director approaches it?
Not particularly, but I will tell you, interestingly enough, the play was adapted by David Ives, whose work I generally think of as being sort of high language and lots of banter and wordplay, which, of course, there's a lot of that in Shakespeare. So I see why it was attractive to them from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a cast of 10. Have you worked with any of them before?
I've worked with many of them before. Jennifer Thebe Quinn is in the show, and I've done a bunch of work with her. There are 4 conservatory students who are students of mine that I've worked with before. But there's a bunch of their regulars. Joe Sella has been in a bunch of stuff for the Shakespeare Company, as Ben Ritchie. And Zach McMillan, who's playing the lead, was just in Comedy of Errors for them. So it's a little bit of a combination of some people I've worked with and some of their regular people.
Uh-huh. So this is written by Mark Twain. I'm guessing not a drama.
It is not a drama. It is absolutely not a drama. You know, this play was written more than 100 years ago and was lost. And it was actually, the play was discovered in amongst his papers, I believe, at the University of Santa Barbara.
Most people probably hadn't seen it any longer than 10 years ago, right?
Right. I think the script was found in 2003 or 2004, and the woman that found it, who's a Twain scholar, had the good sense to reach out to David Ives, who's a very well-established playwright, and say, just take a look at this. And he adapted it, and it had a Broadway run, I think in 2007, with my friend Norbert Butz was playing the lead. Norbert is, of course, a St. Louisan.
A lot of people from the Muni would recognize him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So this is Mark Twain's Is He Dead? Who is he?
He is Jean-Francois Millet, who was an actual real painter of that period. In fact, we've set the play in about 1860. He lived till about 1875, and he was part of the Barbizon movement of painters.
Was he well known at the time?
He was relatively well known. He's become a little obscure now, although interestingly enough, I was in New York in June, and I thought, I'm going to pop into the Met, and they had 6 or 8 paintings of his, which was really fun to see, including a couple that are mentioned in the play.
Describe his work.
So,
Impressionism?
Not quite. It is. It's kind of the very classic rural French painting, which is really what the Barbizon movement was all about. And it's a little. In fact, there's a joke in the show about keep painting blurry, and all of his stuff is like a little. They're beautiful paintings, but the details a little. Sort of, it's just a little soft.
Uh-huh. So Act One takes place in his studio, but he's not really successful at that time, is he?
No, he's not. In fact, the premise of the play is that he's sort of he's an up-and-comer and a little bit of a starving artist, and he studios with several friends of his. There's a Dutch painter, an American painter, and an Irish painter, and they share a studio, and they are all in debt somebody.
I was going to say they also share a debt.
Yeah, they share the debt. And
to an evil guy.
To the bad guy, yeah. It's a little bit of a melodrama, this thing.
He's like an art dealer?
No, what he really is a loan shark, and he's taking their paintings as collateral.
Oh.
And the debts are coming due, and they discover that his work may be worth more value if he's dead than alive. Mm. So he fakes his death, and he comes back as his widowed sister, who in real life he doesn't have a widowed sister. So it's a completely fictionalized character named Daisy to you.
Yeah. So what it is, in Act One, he's the artist Millet. In Act Two, he's pretending to be a sister
who doesn't exist, yeah. So Zach McMillan, who plays Francois, spends the entire second act in a dress.
So back to Act One then. The artist, Millay, he has a love interest.
He does. He is in love with a young woman named Marie, whose father, Leroux, is the patron of all of those painters. But Leroux has also managed to get in debt to André, who's the bad guy. So everybody owes this guy money. So there, it's really the kind of scheme, can we get out of this?
Uh-huh. Do they want to get married? Or?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, André, the villain, is also in love with Marie. So it is almost a classic melodrama. I mean, we all but tie her to the tracks.
Well, how funny is it? Is this one of the laugh-a-minute type of thing, or is it?
It's pretty funny. It's kind of an odd combination because it is a language play, but it has a lot of elements of farce. And
can you give me some examples of that?
You know, the minute you get a man in a dress, and then you have to be hiding him from people, that just allows all sorts of mayhem to unroll. Mm-hmm.
So without giving too much away, the idea comes up to fake his death. And
that's
why he ends up playing the sister, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, and in fact, he disappears presumably to the Barbary Coast because he's ill, and then they announce his death several months later, and then people start getting suspicious, particularly André. But at this point, André has fallen in love with the widow Daisy, not knowing that it's Francois.
Oh,
so it's, you know, and this is the sort of it is the comedy structure that goes back, frankly, to Roman theater. Men in dresses and mistaken identities.
So does he attempt to court this?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Person?
Yeah. In fact, he's courting her Papa LaRue. Daisy has these magnetic powers and men just fall immediately in love with him.
I have a visual image of, since Act 1 is set in the poor artist studio and Act 2 is this apartment of the rich widow, that there's a huge contrast in the sets.
The set design is quite clever. Matt Stuckel has designed the scenery, and he's created sort of one room that gets redressed, essentially. So it does look like sort of a dumpy artist studio in the first act, and then doors change out and windows change out, and then we're in this very fancy sort of Parisian apartment.
Mm-hmm. And do you want to take the plot any further than that?
Let's see if there's anything important to know. Well, there is. Yeah, there are a couple of things to know. In addition to everybody I've talked about already, Marie, the love interest, has a sister who ends up, she becomes very suspicious of everything, and she ends up sort of becoming the detective on the case. And then there's Joe Sella is playing a multitude of characters that are all hilarious. He plays the King of France, and he plays Charlie the butler, and he plays a French reporter. And so he keeps coming back. And in fact, there's sort of what David Ives did that was so interesting is you see that character in multiple sort of disguises. And actually then the sister who becomes the detective, she shows up in male drag in the second act.
We're talking with Everett Caulfield. He's directing Is He Dead?, which opens St. Louis Shakespeare's season, and that opens tonight. So it sounds a little confusing. How's it been for the cast?
Pretty good. But it is because it's sort of a high farce and high comedy. It is, you know, they're tricky. They're technical things, and it's been a lot of fun to rehearse, but it's a lot of work.
Is there one, you said it was tricky. Has there been something in particular that you had a problem with?
It's always about the timing.
And as with any comedy.
Yeah, as with any comedy. And I've directed a lot of comedies over the years. And the one thing, there's an adage that you hear a lot related to comedies, which is louder, faster, funnier. And I've come to learn that isn't always true. And in fact, sometimes you have to slow the comedy down or the audience will go past the audience so quickly they miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've spent the last several days are really about polishing it up.
Does it feel like Mark Twain?
It does feel like Mark Twain. There are a couple of passages in the play where that's clearly Twain's writing, where he is talking about the value of art and why artists are important. They're really very, very touching.
Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
I think Mr. Twain had a great love and admiration for fellow artists. And he talks about, you know, that artists, there's no real nationality to artists, that they are every nationality and that they represent all of us. And it's really kind of a very sweet, couple of sweet moments like that in the play that I just find very, very touching.
And don't they sort of make the point, and I guess it's true, that often an artist's work is more valuable after he's dead?
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely true. The other thing that's absolutely clear, Twain, is that the whole notion of Francois Millet is faked his death and is going to come back to his own funeral, which, of course, is played out famously in Tom Sawyer. I think the same thing may be true in Huckleberry Finn.
Hmm. What can you share about Mark Twain, the playwright? You mentioned before that this particular piece, I think no one had really seen it in 100 years since it had been written. Maybe I'm missing something. Is there a play that Mark Twain wrote that I would know?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, I do know that this play was written in a period where he had gone to Europe on a speaking engagement. He was a little strapped for cash, and so he agreed to go to Europe and do speaking engagements, and he wrote this play when he was in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Were any of his plays ever produced when he was alive?
No.
None?
No.
Okay,
none.
I wasn't
clear
about that.
In fact, it wasn't really clear that there were Mark Twain plays.
Huh. And as you said, these were just found sort of by accident.
By accident. Completely by accident, yeah.
Hmm. Well, we've gone through the plot a little bit. How does the courtship work out?
You know what? Everybody ends up with who they're supposed to end up with. And there are a few twists and turns with that. Because ultimately, everybody in the play ends up being coupled up at the very end of the play, except for the bad guy who goes running off into the night.
Well, this is your first time directing for St. Louis Shakespeare,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a story there?
Well, I have had many conversations with him over the years. I've known Suki, who's the artistic director for a long time, and of course, a longtime friend of Donna Northcutt's. And in fact, Donna, over the years, has asked me a couple times to direct, and we couldn't make the schedule work out. And this just happened to work out, which was I'm delighted about.
And why this play in particular appeals to you?
Because it's funny, and I like funny plays, and I do a lot of funny plays. So,
well, there are three more productions in this season. Are you familiar with all of them?
So after we close, we run through August 13th, and then they open Titus Andronicus on August 25th. We talk about the other end of the spectrum from a farce. And, of course, that's a Shakespeare play that isn't done very often, and it's a great high drama, and I'm sure they'll do a beautiful production. And then they're doing a new play called Cardenio, which is a play that is now credited to William Shakespeare, although it's sort of...
They're not
again,
sure.
Again, this was one that was found, I think, in the last 10 years. And so I know it was done in London, and Donna Northcott found that script, and she really wanted to do it, so she's directing it. And then Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead next spring, which is actually a nice compliment because, of course, the Rep is doing Hamlet this fall. So,
So as far as Is He Dead is concerned, since probably most people listening, maybe everyone listening, has never seen a Mark Twain written play, do they need to know anything ahead of time? What do you think they'll leave thinking?
Oh, I think they'll leave, I hope, having had a great time and a great laugh. It never takes itself too seriously. But there is a message about the value of art in it, which I love.
And it is?
It is that art's really important, and it makes our humanity more important, really.
Edward Caulfield, thank you for joining us, and have a great opening night tonight.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Steve Potter speaking with Edward Caulfield, the director of St. Louis Shakespeare's production of Mark Twain's Is He Dead?, which opens tonight at 8 and continues through August 13th at the Ivory Theater on Michigan Avenue in South St. Louis. You can find more information at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Alicia Lee, Monica Ramirez, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.